Blog Talk Radio.
We are the UR Tennis Network. Our mission is to be the voice of tennis. We enlist a team of passionate enthusiasts to promote our sport. We strive to bring interesting perspectives on the many spins of tennis. Our goal is to provide the learners of our sport with current news and information from many angles. We seek active participation from communities interested in tennis, but tennis is not interested in them. We are expanding our outreach. Tennis is a true lifetime sport that needs to be talked about, and the UR Tennis Network pledges to pursue this idea relentlessly.
And gentlemen, let's get ready to be inspired! Introducing in the red corner, American Tennis! And introducing in the blue corner, your host for American Tennis, Mr. Chuck Griese! Ladies and gentlemen, time to get in the game.
Good morning once again. This is Coach Chuck Griese, and we have a show full of information today. We hope that you will stay with us here on the UR Tennis Network and listen to the whole show. And please call in as you have questions and you want to be a part of the show. The number today to call in is 714-583-6853. That's 714-583-6853. This is American Tennis, where we ask you to stand up and to speak out. That's our mission. We don't need to just stay quiet. We need to stand up, speak out, express yourself. Edmund Burke says that all that it takes for evil to prosper is for good men to do nothing. We ask you to stay professional, address issues, not people. And folks, I'm going to tell you right now that today it's going to be harder than ever to stay professional and not address. This issue today is one that is personal. It's personal to me. It's personal to, should be to everybody out there that really, really has a stake in American tennis and you really care about what's going on. I mean, the results are just awful right now. The proof is in the pudding. We are not doing the job. And even if we're on the right track, even if we have righted a ship, it's going to be a while before we see any breakthroughs, I think. But folks, we have a civil war brewing in college tennis right now, and it is a definite onslaught against what we have done for many, many years to promote college tennis as a educational and a developmental process where players can go and get better and use it as a stepping stone for our professional ranks. We are now trying these committees that we have, these phantom committees. We have a war. Let me just tell you this, folks. We have a war going on right now. The ITA and USTA and their committee, the USTA and NCAA committee, is basically battling the ITA right now. The USTA and the NCAA have proposed a format for college tennis matches, similar to what they did a year ago, a little more over a year ago. A year, about 16 months ago, if you remember, they proposed a really strange format with doubles only going to 5-5, playing pro sets for two sets and the tiebreaker for the third set. And proposed this format that the reaction was 10,000 signatures, 10,000 going on to change.org, 10,000 signatures of players, coaches, and those people that hold college tennis in the highest esteem and look at it as one of the most precious heirlooms that we have in the developmental process of our players. This was only about 16 months ago. After that, the USTA and their infinite wisdom and the committee with the NCAA, which was some athletic directors and other people, have come back and they've morphed this thing into a completely a different proposal now. As a reaction, the ITA officials are outraged, and they've come up with their own proposal as a compromise. They have stuck, instead of going back to what we've been doing for 20 years, which maybe isn't the best, but it has been the compromise that came up with we came up with in the 1980s and late 1980s and early 1990s. The Paul Scarpa system, we came up with this compromise of doing doubles first and then singles. The ITA has thrown it out the window and come up with the silliest of silly formats. You have, get ready for this, folks. When we come back from our commercial, you are going to roll over with laughter or you're going to cringe. It is absolutely laughable what they have come up with. Absolutely laughable. Folks, this is a personal thing to me. We have a civil war going on right now. There may be three parts of this civil war. Might be the ITA against this USTA committee. But let me tell you, folks, we've got a new player on the block right now. We have got a new group of coaches that have formed a new group that say they have had enough. Coaches are outraged. Players are outraged. We'll be right back and tell you all about this.
Alternative Lighting and Power is a renewable energy solutions-focused company with an emphasis in helping athletic facilities. We would like to upgrade your tennis complex to the 21st century. We offer a range of services that will upgrade your tennis complex. We can use our technology to make your facility virtually disappear from the energy grid. We can provide lights, scoreboards, scoring systems, cooling systems, heating systems, camera systems, covered seating areas, wastewater management, and even new buildings. Our company is located in Houston, Texas, but we provide services to all 50 states and internationally. We would love to visit with you about our opportunities. Please contact Ed Love at 832-549-4193 or email at elove@alternativel-p.com. You can also visit our website at www.alternativel-p.com. We are the sunny side of business.
He's just made America.
And it's Coach Chuck Creasy with American Tennis, and we already have a few calls lined up on the switchboard. And callers, if you can just hold and let me set the table here for a minute, and we're going to get you on here to discuss this. So here's what's up, folks. This argument's been going on since the mid-1980s up to about the late 1980s. There was a group of coaches that were concerned that matches are too long, and that's why we're having kids get too tired, and that's why our players were having trouble. Well, basically what was happening, we had a lot of coaches working very hard with their players in the 1980s, outworking maybe more talented teams or teams with more talent. But in the end, it was capitalism. In the end, it was about players stepping up, coaches stepping up, doing the work. And the proof is in the pudding. In the 1980s, as I've said many, many times, 1984, we had 39 players that had graduated from college and made it to the top 100 in the ATP rankings. We also had women that were going through college and breaking into the WTA rankings, the top 100. Do you know, folks, that today we have one, John Isner, one USA-born player that has gone to college in the top 100 to men's side, and it's been 20 years since we had Lisa Raymond come through the system of college tennis and go into the top 100. Now, we've had a few players. Gretchen Rush has been in and out. She's had a wonderful, wonderful, consistent career. And one or two other girls have been in and out of there. But that is the litmus test for how pathetic and how bad we have done with the college system of developing players. The developmental process basically hit a wall and came to a skidding standstill about 1990, 91, 92. Go back and look everything up. This is where you will see that we stopped really developing players through the college system. Our system of tennis in the United States relies on the college programs to develop the talent and get the talent into the pros. Every college program does that. Football does that. Basketball does that. Look at the PGA, how many professional golfers come out of our college system. I mean, my golly, we have the WNBA uses our college system to get players into baseball. Look at the farm system. Our college system will send players to the farm system, then they go in. Every college system of sports develops players and gets them to the pros, except for tennis. But it wasn't that way until about the early 1990s. We have had this week, since that time in the last 20 years, the talk has been on about, well, it's not popular enough. We're not on TV. Well, our players have to play too many hours. How many times have I heard, oh, it's five-hour matches or six-hour matches? Nobody argues about a three- or four- or five-hour round of golf, or if a baseball game goes extra innings, or if the baseball has 64 games a year. But for some reason in tennis, we have dumbed it down to 25 matches. If you go back, it was 1991, we dumbed it down to 25 matches in 20 hours of practice per week for 24 weeks a year. How in the world can a tennis player get better with that kind of a training system? It's laughable. It is absolutely laughable. And the proof is in the pudding. If we were turning out 5 to 7 or 10 of our American players each year into the pro ranks through the college system, we'd be singing a different tune. But we have one now, folks. We have one. Steven Johnson was in, but he dropped back out. We have one. Here's what a coach says who's emailed in just outraged. They said, this is laughable. What? What are they doing? What is the USTA proposed with this format? The USTA format, folks, is they are proposing to play singles only. Singles only. And if you tie 3-3, now three teams are supposed to go out and play a super tiebreaker. Are you kidding me? What a joke. What a laughable joke. Everybody's going to run down and say, wow, this is an exciting system, and watch this match. It's laughable. It is unbelievable. The developmental process of doubles is completely gone out the window. No wonder our players can't volley. No wonder they can't transition. No wonder they don't understand teamwork. If any of you are coaches out there, isn't it true that every one of your players makes their breakthrough in singles after they make through a breakthrough in doubles? So this is the NCAA, or the USTA and the NCAA's joint thing that they've came up with. This is what they're pushing forward. So in a response, our brilliant ITA comes up with their own format. Okay, folks, get ready for this. Doubles is going to go, instead of a full pro set, not two out of three sets now. Wait a minute. Pro set's not even a rule of tennis. Tiebreaker for the third set's not even a rule of tennis. These are not even rules of tennis. Instead of doing this, the ITA has come up with a thing. They're going to play a five-game set with a tiebreaker at 5-5. Are you kidding me for the doubles? Are you kidding me? And it is absolutely laughable for them to do this. Now get ready for this one, folks. See if you've ever heard of this before. Where in the world did they come up with this one? Was this Bullwinkle the Moose that came up with this idea? Was this Howdy Doody that came up with this idea? Folks, they want to play the two out of three set match, not a no ad, but a one ad system. A one ad system. So that means after you get 40 deuce, you're going to have one chance to win the game, and if you don't, if you tie it up again, it's going to be a sudden death. Are you kidding me? How laughable is this? I cannot believe the lack of understanding that these people have about the game of tennis. The game of tennis was built on our scoring system where you have to get 3 points in a row. If you do not win the first point of the game, you have to always win 3 points in a row or 4 out of 5. If you do not know how to group points, if you cannot group points in threes against a superior player, you will not beat the superior player. In no-ad scoring, you can win, they can win, you can win, they can win, you can win, they can win, you can win and win the game. You only have to win one in a row. Now we have this thing where, wait a minute, is this the 3-all, is this the 40-40 point, or is this the one-ad, or what? I mean, is this going to bring excitement? This is ridiculous. Is this going to develop players? No. We'll go further into the hole. So this coach brings this up and says, this is ridiculous. What's going on? The coach says, please consider these points. In the 80s, we had up to 40 and 45 players in the top 100 that this is the point I've always made, that have graduated from college. We have none now. It's been 20 years since we must have been listening to the show, because I've said it often. It's been 20 years since we had a girl come through the college ranks and do great in college and in professional tennis. What are we doing? We're not training tennis anymore. It's as if we have a different game. It's as if we were trained to play soccer and have rugby rules or something. That's not a bad analogy. This has happened in 90 to 91, that area. Anybody who was around that era, they know that this is when all of the regulation came in and they further restricted coaching to 4.5 scholarships for the men. Well, actually, that happened back that happened back about 76, 75 or 76. It was 5 scholarships before that. It used to be 8 for men. But in about 76, 77, it went to 4.5 for men and 8 for women. But the coach goes on to say that other things contributed to this, but mainly it was the fact that we dumbed down the process in the early 90s. We didn't demand it much out of our players, and our players didn't demand much out of themselves. Now, it says, since the 80s and 90s, there's been a contingent that was believed that if we're ever going to save college tennis, we had to get on TV and it had to be a three-hour match. Are you kidding me? We've had experts say that it takes up to $30,000 or $40,000 to really have a legitimate match on TV. Even if they did, folks, come on. How many teams will really get on TV? Or you can just look. If you get on TV, do any format you want, folks. To the ITA, if you get on TV, do a hoochie coochie show. Do anything you want to do, but then put it on TV. But to those legitimate other 50 teams that are trying to make the NCAAs and trying to win in the NCAAs, don't screw up the system that makes players better. Don't screw up the developmental process. And then there's all of the other colleges that have to go along with this. Come on, give me a break. This was the argument, folks, back in the early 90s. And I can remember as a college coach back at that time, for 4 or 5 years, we tried a 4-1 process. We tried a 5-1 process. The brilliance of Coach Paul Scarpa at Furman University stood up in a meeting in 1991 and said, "Let me tell you," as he always would say, "Let me tell you." Everybody listened as if he was E.F. Hutton. And he said, "Let me tell you what you need to do." And he came up with a format that we currently use that is not as good for developing players as the old standard 6 singles and 3 doubles, 2 out of 3 sets. You developed players back in those days, folks. You developed a lot of good players. But it was a good compromise. Everybody applauded the old Coach Scarpa, and everybody sat down, and the issue was solved for 20 years. And here we are. Whoops, we're back again. We're back again. This stuff has reared its head, and some of the coaches weren't around back then. And if you've got the strong talking points about that, listen, we're going to get on TV. Oh, it could be more popular. But, folks, again, the thing is that it is not about the format. It is about what time of the year we play the matches. We need to be playing. Listen, I wish we could get Coach Randy Blumendahl on again. I'd called him earlier and asked him to call in if he could, because I want him to explain his idea. But he has an idea that they use in Texas high school. You play the team matches in the fall when the weather is better, when you have football crowds on every campus. You have teams to play on a Friday night when everybody, all the tailgaters have showed up a day ahead of time, and then you have 1,000 or 1,500 people come to your tennis match, and you play Sunday afternoon. You play September and October. You do your tournament stuff. Early November be done by Thanksgiving. That's your team season, folks. Team season over. You can shorten it if you want to, because then after that, you would have 6 months of getting ready for a national clay court, a national indoors, an All-American, and the finish of the 4 Grand Slam tournaments would be the NCAA singles and doubles tournament. Satellite events would break off of these. Now think about how players would then springboard into the summer and go out and play. Did I have a wake-up call this summer as I was watching 4 futures tournaments in Florida? Every college player that came down to play them looked like they were zombies, and they all complained, "I'm out of gas. I don't want to play tennis for a month," because they'd just been through 5 months of the spring season that strings them out with this team format that has team reward but very little individual award and does not develop players. Team formats do not develop players like individual formats. We all love them, but think back, folks, to the 60s. Golf used to be a head-to-head match play system where a number 5 guy would play number 5 guy one round of 18 holes. Now, who in the heck got better with that? The golf coaches were smart. They figured out they wanted medal play, and then they went from match play to medal play, and the number 5 guy now could compete against the best, and if he popped up and won a tournament, he could go to the moon just like the 1 and 2 players do. Look, folks, this stuff, what really irritates me is 2 more points. I'm going to take the caller here from area code 678 and in a minute here. Folks, we've already been down this road. 10,000 signatures is unprecedented and unheard of. It was not a mandate to morph into another bastardization of yet another tennis scoring system. It was not to do that. It was saying and screaming, the coaches and the players who signed on to the change.org said, "Do not mess up our game again." Players are smart. They understand what's happening. Do you think that they want to play this ridiculous thing of a one-ad system. Could you imagine? I mean, it is laughable. But anyhow, the worst part about it is that it is a deplorable thing that both of these decisions were made by our leaders behind closed doors. And they were done on the spur of the moment when nobody had a rebuttal. Nobody was listened to other than their points of view. And we basically have a situation that is tyrannical. Is this tyranny, folks? Is it time for a civil war in college tennis? We might have it. We have a new organization that's just starting up, the MDTA, the Men's Division I Tennis Association. And we'll see if it flies. But I think a lot of the coaches have had enough of being dictated to and told what to do by leaders who are very much picked up somehow and are completely out of touch with what's going on. It's really, really interesting. I'll make this point. I want to get a comment by a caller. Think about what's going on all over our world. We have never had a situation where information is right in front of us. It's not like our leaders can just push something over on us and nobody finds out about it. Because of the internet, because of the web around the world, everybody knows what's going on. Now, people can slant it and people can turn it, but we have a way of communicating now. We didn't used to have that. Therefore, we must have wise and leaders and people who are of great integrity and care about what is the best for the development of our individuals first and themselves and their own popularity later. Think about why civil wars are going on right now. Because most people know too much. I don't know if our leaders are being groomed or not, but their attitudes that this is what's best for college tennis is folks, it's really absolutely laughable. Now, my disclaimer to all of you, as I've gone on for a long time here, and I'm going to pick up the caller. Let me get the caller here. Caller, area code 678. Are you there? Are you on the line? Hello, caller.
I'm here, Coach. I'm here.
Okay. Caller, can you hold on just a second? I think I know who this is. Is this J.P. Weber, the founder of
Yes,
We Coach Tennis?
Yes, sir, it is.
Coach J.P. Weber, the founder of the We Coach Tennis website, over 1,000 Facebook people strong, over 1,000 coaches now, folks, interacting on WeCoachTennis.com. This is congratulations on your work there and the contributions you have made to tennis. Also, J.P., I wanted to salute you for the fact that you have started a yellowball.com circuit, which is an answer to maybe another tyrannical thing that they have done in mandating. Anytime I see this word mandate and it comes from people, it turns my skin. This is not Russia. This is not France. This is not Belgium. This is the United States of America. And when anybody that says mandate, where does somebody mandate? You know, so anyhow, JP, I guess you could, I want to make this last statement. My disclaimer to all of you and to JP is this. My disclaimer is that I approach college coaching and college tennis as an education process first and an entertainment process somewhere else down the line. If it is a great product and if it's a great sport, it will hold its own and it will develop followers. It will develop followers on its own base. We do not need to do bastardizations of the scoring systems in order to do that. JP, could you imagine if somebody in the Football Coach Association came out and said, we just decided that we want a touchdown to be 8 points. Just the Coaches Association did this. That would be ridiculous. What do you say, JP?
Well, Coach, thanks for letting me come back. Are you settling in now? Now at the Citadel, is the Bulldog Paul Prince?
JP, thank you for asking.
What's it like there? What's it like?
This is why it's personal to me, again, is that I see leadership training going around Every day, right before my eyes, I've never seen a place like this. I've been able to visit West Point with Jim Poling. I've been to the Naval Academy. I've been at Air Force Academy. These places really give you goosebumps, and it just makes you proud again because you know that we don't have to dumb down things. But I'm in an environment I'm very, very happy to be, JP. So thank you very, very much. And I'm hoping at this stage in my life and my career I can do some good to help build some leaders as well. But thank you. Thank you for asking.
Well, I'm excited for you. I think it's just gonna be an interesting thing to watch college tennis in the South if you can get something going there at the Citadel. I think it'll be I think you'll get fans. And I think I suppose that's what this talk boils down to, whether or not it's relevant on the campuses, whether or not college tennis is a relevant sport. And apparently, Mr. Benjamin looks at it, his argument is that we've got to make us more relevant as a sport on the campuses in order that they keep us. Is that, I think that's where it comes from.
Well,
is that correct?
Can I address that again? I already said that in about 1990-91 is when all this happened. At that point, coaches said, look, we can't train players to be good anymore with the NCAA rules that really cut back the amount of hours you could work with them, the contact you can have with your players. As you know, grooming a player is like grooming a musician. It's a day and night thing. It is really an all-engrossing thing. But when coaches really just checked out, and I'll say they checked out and just said, well, we can't build American players, they're behind, let's go recruit foreign players. And so in recruiting, only foreign players are predominantly. And JP, I'll send you the statistics. Maybe you can get it on your website there to We Coach Tennis. I had an outraged father up in College Park that did a wonderful, masterful table that shows all about 60% or 65% of all the money is going to internationals. But this started at 91, and it started as a reflex to the fact that coaches believed they could not develop players anymore. Now, in doing so, the unintended consequences is you might have built a great team, but nobody really on the campus could identify with some of the players, or it was unique in some situations, but for the most part, when it came time to drop sports because of all of the sports that they had to add with Title IX and all of the political reasons for doing it, tennis has been an easy one to drop. JP, would you believe we've had 400 teams dropped in the past 25 years?
You were very complimentary about the We Coach Tennis site, and I don't want to blow smoke here, but look, the whole reason it was there is because of my association with you. I got to tell you, I was with Paul Scarpa in his car, remember the Grand Cherokee? He drove over, pieces were falling off of it. We were driving to Athens to go to this talk where he was going to present this shorter format. He stopped about halfway there, which was close to Clemson, and he was turning around and wanting to go back. I said, no, you got to do this. Then when he got there, he didn't want to get up and talk, and I kept elbowing him, telling him to get up. And he gave this presentation on the shortened format. At that time, he was worried. You know, it's funny you bring up our leaders and tyranny and this and that. At that time, he was worried about the very same things that you're talking about now. We have with the USTA and we have with the ITA, you know, our good friend had a show for many months or for the past year, Bruce Lipka. You know, he often referred to it as the ITA mafia. Look, coach, there's a small group that controls things, and I think you're right. I think that they're not listening after what they faced, after the signatures that were gotten, after the kids, they know better than we do, though. And they're going to
they
tell
know
you
better. Their committee, especially, look, and I'm not hacking on this, but the people who are making those decisions aren't necessarily in the mainstream. Can I read you the letter by the head of the ITA here? And again, I don't like to mention names, but, you know, here's the letter. It said, greetings. How would you address this? Came today across the internet. Greetings. I'd like to update you on a recent move concerning the decisions of Division I dual match format and the decisions made last week by the ITA Division I Operating Committee. As you know, the past academic year, we have dedicated a great deal of time to this issue. The ITIA Operating Committee decided during its spring meeting in Champaign to, listen to this, to tweak, I hate that word, tweak, screw with. Why don't they just say, we decided to screw with the current format by mandating that effective in 2013, the doubles pro set will consist of a tiebreaker at 7-all instead of 8-all. We tweaked it, okay? All right, now, I want to tell you how many coaches called me outraged and just said, what in the world, they did this without telling us again. They did it behind the closed doors again. Okay, says goes on, said, late last spring, the USTA created an advisory group. Now, this is the USTA, not the ITA, that included 8 Division I athletic directors from a variety of conferences and regions, as well as an NCAA staff. Explained in the letter is that the USTA sent a week ago by some of the conference commissioners that the goal was, this was out of the ITA's hands, so that's what hacks them off, to help improve the college tennis product and the experience for the players, for the fans, for the coaches, and for television, and make the college tennis season and match more exciting and relevant. This advisory group, after several conference calls in August, met in New York during the U.S. Open 2 weeks ago. It has been recommended that the new dual match format be used and experimental at the USTA College Game Days that they're now promoting. And it's going to be as follows. Singles first and then doubles tiebreakers. At 3-3, the JP, they're going to use this bastardization of a 10-point tiebreaker for the match. Can you believe this? Can you believe this? If you're up 4-2, you've clinched. We're going to also make the team warm-up shorter. Look, the IT says he's mad. The ITA was not involved in these discussions with the advisory group. But it's our understanding, based on a number of meetings with USTA staff during the Open, that the primary goal of the format change would be to make the dual match time sensitive, less than 3 hours. It's always got to be 3 hours because people are going to sit on those cold bleachers and watch. Tennis is, nobody sits and watches the 3 hours of tennis unless you know the person. It's a mom or a dad. Tennis people like to go from match to match to match and check out parts of matches. The ITA
Coach,
not
I'm
involved
down here.
In these. Go ahead,
I'm down here in the mecca of college tennis at Georgia. And, you know, Manny's held pretty firm in this stuff. They do a great job with their matches and things of that nature here. I don't think changing it in this way is going to increase the television opportunity. In other words, you may, it's possible, I suppose, at a Stanford or something like that, because they'll go in all for it there. But, you know, you may have, but for the rest of the places, it's going to dissolve what you're talking about, the ability to develop the players and the ability to have them ready to have them be relevant later on.
There is no later on. How do you go from playing these bastardizations of short sets and one set tiebreakers to being able to play 3 out of 5 sets? Did you watch the 3 out of 5
you don't.
Sets?
You can't.
You can't. You can't. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. I mean, you know, what are we doing? Again, I take this very, very personal, as you do. We've been in the developmental process for a long, long time. Let me go on and say, in following up with these wide-ranging conversations, the ITA Division I Operating Committee held a highly focused conference call. Now, I can read you, this conference call was 59 minutes total, and it had about 15 to 20 guys on there and women. And by that time, as you know, how much talking they probably got to do, and it's a conference call. The committee voted to mandate experimental. It did not say unanimously, by the way. The experimentation of this winter with the dual match format that will represent a dramatic change from the current team format. The new ITA format will be time sensitive, under 3 hours, but still emphasize the importance of doubles in a college match. The following ITA. All right, here we go, JP. The dual match will consist of three doubles matches played first, worth a total of 1 point, followed by the six singles match, each worth 1 point. 4 points are required to win the match. Point two, the three doubles matches will consist of one set to six with a one-add scoring, and a tiebreaker at five all. Is that a joke? Once a team has won two doubles matches, go ahead. What do you say?
Let me ask you. We've got team tennis. I mean, that has a pretty funky, sexy format, right? It's got a sexy format to it.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah. You see how popular it is? It goes on for 2 weeks, the whole year. Okay. It's a big hit, you know. Right.
Yeah, I don't see change. I mean, you know. And kudos to my buddy Wayne Bryan and all those guys that do that stuff. Look, I think it's a great thing if they want to do it. But it hasn't – I doubt it's – they worked very hard to get some kind of – they worked very, very hard to get some kind of following with that, don't they? I mean,
they have to promote pretty dang hard.
And they still don't get people. So I think we're doing the wrong – I think we should go the other direction. I think we should go your direction. I think it should be tougher. I think it should be longer. I think it should be, and then you know what? It'll be more relevant that way. I don't think we should be worried about.
Well, it's not relevant to the players, which is the first thing, Coach. It's not relevant to the players. The players don't want to waste their time. They're not going to want to waste their time with this. Let me go on here and tell you what else is coming. Once a team has two doubles matches, the remainder of the doubles match will stop. The point has been clinched. But so you're only going to play instead of a game pro set. Now you're going to a five game set. Six singles match will follow the doubles. Each singles match, two out of three sets, okay, using one add scoring and a tiebreaker at five all. Unbelievable. Only 4 points have been reached. Clinching the match means you stop all the other match. Now, how do you like to be that tough guy playing number four singles or tough gal playing number four? You're only at 2-2 in the first set, and somebody's already a set and 3-0 up. And you go, I'm 2-2. Okay, what's the use of finishing?
What?
And they stop your match at 4. They stop your match at 4-3. They stop your match at 4-3. So match clinched over. Unbelievable.
There will be no
warm-up against the opponent. Let me go ahead, Coach.
Why do you have to follow it? I mean, in other words, the Southeastern Conference. You got Manny there. You got you in the Southern Conference. You guys get together as a conference. Can't you elect to just do it the way?
Look, the NCAA usually pushes, says in our championship, this is the format you play, and then coaches fall in line. And I do not know if there are a lot of developmental coaches out there anymore. I really don't. I am. Disappointed. I with some. I'm very inspired by others that really look at it as a developmental process. You know, but look, let me finish. There's no warm up against the opponent because the first point is played in doubles and singles. Okay, before the first point's played, play is expected to warm up with their team and then start. No warm up. Okay. That's a little different, too. It should be understood that the ITA Operating Committee is fully supportive of the USTA College Match Day concept and promising initiative to create greater exposure on TV, increase the fan base, and have a valuable opportunity and a valuable experience for our athletes. At the same time, the ITA committee strongly supports a dual match format that keeps doubles in integral part. Well, that's the first statement made in this whole daggone letter that makes any sense at all. As already explained, here's the word. Does this not make you cringe? As already explained, we are mandating this experimentation with the ITA format for the first 2 months of 2014. Give me a break. Are you kidding me? And we're recommending USTA use it as an experiment as well. In closing, I want to thank all the members of the committee, the key coaches, and all of the time. And we went through so much work. God, give me a break. This is disgusting.
Coach,
Coach Weber,
they've learned it from someplace. I think that's a learned prescription. So you know, the USGA picked up on it. We've been doing it's something that's being tried all over in every part of our society now. They want to mandate this. They want to mandate that. I don't know why you guys have to follow it.
Well, listen. Again, there's strength in numbers, and again, as you said about Coach Scarpa not wanting to step up with such a brilliant idea, it is, you know, as you get older, you've been through so many battles, you've been shot at so many times, you're willing to speak up. But people are afraid, the political correctness, the being afraid, the organization, the ITA sets itself up as the people who run college tennis. It is a voluntary organization we all pay dues to. If we want to have a ranking and if we want to go to their tournaments. Rah, rah, rah. Okay, that's it. That's it. So what we have is we have other organizations maybe that are going to spring up. You know, that's... So it's just awful. And, I see another caller here. I'll just wait. Caller, if you could just wait a minute. Okay, they hung up. All right. Coach Weber, talk to me a minute or two about your We Coach Tennis. And it obviously has been very, very successful. I mean, the Internet there has really been great instead of you being frustrated about so many things. I mean, this has given you a vehicle to really reach now over 1,000 coaches. Talk about it.
I don't participate in it as much as I did at one time. I'm on it. And I read it every day, and it was just funny. There was a person who just commented on there how enjoyable it is for him to get on there and look at stuff. There's a lot of great stuff written. Look, the whole thing started, and you know this. You're sort of setting me up, but let me say this. That thing came out of a conversation with you, and it comes out of your opening comment that you make. And you don't want to sit around and just complain about stuff. You want to do something. You and I spoke about things, some of these mandates that were being held and sent down from the USGA, and we didn't want to be not able to do something about it. So we created this. You had a lot of involvement in this at the inception, and it's been going. You haven't been on there as much, but we do. I don't think we're at 1,000. I think you mentioned earlier we're at 1,000. We're just under 1,000. But it's growing. It grows about every day. There's probably 10 or 15 people that ask to join and come on. And if it's somebody who's not serious, we don't take them on. And if it gets, like you said, in your, you know, one of your things that you stick to, which I think it is becoming harder and harder to do, like you said, you know, we don't want the personal attacks. If somebody becomes personal, we take them off. But other than that, it has been very good. People feel almost like a catharsis. They feel freedom to speak. The other thing that's great about it is, Coach, it's written down. And people write what they think. A lot of them write off the cuff. Jack Justice, the former president of USPTA, in a private conversation with me, talked to me about how much he enjoys reading it because he loves the off-the-cuff comments that people will write. But you have a situation where people write it down. And then later, they may say, well, I didn't say that. And you can go back and find where they said. So, you know, a lot of people will say these days, and I think it goes back to what's going on here, you know, that passed, and it probably passed because people got in a little group, a committee, and they started talking amongst one another, and they came up with something, groupthink. And people act in a group the way in which none of them would act as individuals. Well, they're not accountable to this. They're not going to be, you know, they put this up. They're not, I don't know how accountable they'll be. And, you know, they made it a mandate on top of it. They didn't give you a choice. Paul Scarpa got up at the NCAA meeting there at the NCAAs, and it was voted on, I believe. Is that right? And then later ratified.
It was voted on unanimously, but here's the thing. They would never call it the Scarpa scoring system or anything. They would not give him the credit. They said... The comment came, I asked, and this we should call this Scarpa scoring system. It came back to me. They said this 90-91. They said, oh, no, A lot of people worked on this. We shouldn't give it credit to. You giving me a break? I mean, after five years, we battled, and it's just awful.
Having stuff written down, having stuff, you know, make it one of the. There's just so many different people that contribute to that site now. In terms of, there's some good guys. There's one of the guys who I think competed at Clemson is now, you know, part of the Irish Davis Cup coaching staff on there. There's people from all over who who comment on there all the time. It's very candid. People, it's not a lot of politically correct stuff. There's a guy here who, in the Atlanta area, who's a disciple of Lambsdorff, and he speaks his mind quite clearly, and he'll call a spade, but it never, to me, gets out of hand. Maybe I just have a thicker skin that I've developed over time with doing this. But
yeah, and you do. JP, here's the thing that I've learned, and I always say at the start of my show, address issues, not people, and I don't think I've called anybody out. I haven't called anybody by name. People who know who we're talking about probably, but you do not address people. You address issues. You try to stay professional. You know,
and you and I have talked about that before, and I think you're at a time, though, when you deal with what we deal with. Look, I think that there needs to be more accountability. See, I look at college coaches. When you see college coaches in basketball and football, you know, their record is a matter of you know, what they're looking at. They're going to look at that, and they're going to get scrutinized. And I think
one of these organizations said, this is laughable. The letter came in from a coach and said, first, some of the criticism on the call today directly towards the AD proposal surrounded the fact that it was decided hurriedly and with a lack of proper vetting. Now, here's the response by the other organization. The greatest concern of the coaches about the AD's proposal was that the coaches and the ITA and the governing body, that the coaches and the ITA was not included in any of the discussions, but instead deliberately excluded and presented with a final recommendation. And also that the group discussing this was self-appointed, unlike the ITA operating committee, which is elected to represent and make rules. Are you kidding me? When have we seen an election where we people running for stuff? There is always a committee put up. Some of those guys have served for 35 years, but it's put up every year, and then you have to vote or not vote. They get a vote of 28 people, and it passes by 20-6 or 20-8. It involves a very small number. It's unbelievable.
Well, I got to tell you, when I first saw it, it shot me. Now, let me tell you, look, and you're not mentioning names, but as a guest, I have the utmost respect. Let me just say, I have the utmost respect for Coach Cass, Tim Cass. Now, he's an athletic director. He's been on both sides of it. I have a lot of respect for him. I talked to him for 45 minutes yesterday.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. All these guys I have a lot of respect for. I'm worried that when they get in these things, these meetings, these committees and things, this is what you get out of it. It is an absolute joke what they're talking about. Now, the other thing that I wanted to mention, let me say this. We're not as bad off. I know that you'll come on and you'll talk about we don't have this kind of – I just don't believe things are as bad off. I think a lot of countries have caught up in a lot of ways. And what ends up happening, I feel – is that we spend a lot of time talking about how bad the tennis is here, and then people go off and they want to figure out a way to solve the problem that exists in American tennis, and we keep coming up with these cockamamie, this way off the chart ideas that if we just stuck to the meat and potatoes of what we need to do, if we did, and look, you said this and I repeated it. If we didn't do anything else but just made the competition tough, that's all the ITA and the USTA would have to do.
Let me break in. All we have to do is say, here's what you've got, there's the bar, get over it. Now go do it. But these organizations come in, and bureaucracies cannot get out of their own way. They come in like they are the people who are the wise ones, and they know better. And so they tell you, just say, look, this is the competition, go get it. look, you know, I love Mike Kernodle, who's one of the smartest guys out there. And he says, I always quote him, he says, look, Skip Fosbury was not told he had to go over the bar frontwards. He just went over the bar, so we have the Fosbury flop. You know, Borg back in the 70s was not told he had to hit a one-handed backhand. Where would we be? I mean, come on, give me a break. All they have to do is provide incentives, not systems. But it's top-down management, again, will fail. Whenever, I don't care whether it's No Child Left Behind, I don't care if it's government control of the post office, or government control of everything, screws things up. Top-down management screws things up. And I don't, the ITA, you know, the ITA, the USTA, the NCAA, the coaches' organizations, the federal this, the federal that. We need states' rights for states. We need local rights for local people. We need people. Every coach out there needs to be empowered to do it their way. Say, there is the tournament. Go get it.
There's something
go win.
I think there's something in what you just said. Look, to me, it's about the individual coaches. To me, I was at Clemson. I did my master's thesis there when I was working for you, and I did it in spectatorship in college tennis. I went around and interviewed Dick Gould, all the coaches at the time. You know, at the time, I was able to have a long chat, a long discussion numerous times with Dan McGill. Dan McGill at that time would, you know, before practice, he would travel to a certain area of Georgia where he would get azaleas that would bloom at the right time for the NCAA. Getting fans was important to him. And you said it earlier, you sort of alluded to it earlier. Coaches weren't, you know, some coaches were about developing, some others were about putting, you know, certain things on top. But if it's important, if it's real important to your AD, and if it's real important to your program that you got to have fans there and you want to try and attract TV, then I say do it. You know, there are groups out there right now, coach, the schools out there right now, that on a certain football weekend in the fall, they'll have a dual match and the format will be augmented and they'll try to get people to come. I say
and
go ahead and do that if that works. But if it doesn't if it doesn't work for everybody.
Yeah, and we embrace those differences. And we embrace people's right to do that. We do not need bastardizations of our scoring.
No.
So this is not, show me in a scoring book of the U, and even the ITF, as liberal as it is, gotten, does not have a no ad or one ad or eight game pro sets or these things, these bastardizations of things that we're coming we're coming along with. But basically, let's get to this fact. We need great leaders out there. Leadership that is followed by choice, not because they have to. Now, where are those leaders? Where are those leaders that people will say, you know what, I believe in this direction, let's go? And instead of being coerced into doing this. Once again, when somebody says mandate, it makes me cringe. The green ball thing, I have 10 and under tennis is, now come on, how many? My children are 9, 7, and 5. And I've just barely got them hit. I don't care what they do in 10 and under. But the minute they say mandate, the minute they put it on the little Mo tournaments to mandate, the minute that USTA came in and said, we're in charge, you guys follow us, we're smarter than everybody, it just makes my skin turn. There are some great people out there, and great people belong to these organizations. But daggone it, people need to understand what tyranny is. Tyranny is when you force people to do your will against what they really want to do. JP, we got about a minute. Any last thoughts there?
No, I really think you're onto something there with regard to that. I think that they need to leave it up to the schools. If they feel like it's real important to do that, do that. Don't bastardize the system. Keep it something that can develop players. Keep it relevant to the players. Keep it relevant, you know, to the sport. Don't turn it into, you don't need to turn it into a fair or a shot show or anything of that nature. If you do that, and if you keep the product good, Georgia's got a great product. People go there and they watch.
Well, we saw what happened in the early 90s when the mandates of all these rules came down and they limited practice times through their wisdom, limited practice, limited matches. We saw how that initiated excellence. It dumbed it down, and maybe this is what's going on in our school systems, in our music, in our
daggone movies and our entertainment industry, our politics and everything is being dumbed down. Don't control people. Let them go. Grow from the bottom
you
up.
Know,
you know,
one last parallel.
Made in America. Born in a heartland. Raised up a family. A King James and Uncle Sam. He got the red, white, blue, fine high on a farm. Semper Fi tattooed on his Simpsons. Spent a little more in the store for a tag in the back of this USA. Won't buy nothing that he can't fix. With WD-40 and a Craftsman wrench, he ain't president. He's just made in America.
Everybody, make them in America, and remember that you're in the process of winning or losing every day of your life, and it usually has very little to do with a win or loss. I'd like to thank J.P. Weber, and folks, go to that We Coach Tennis. TennisDynamics.com, I believe, is his website. Tennis Dynamics, check that out. This guy has got a lot of great things. What a passionate man for tennis. And congratulations to him. Check out Yellow Balls. If you don't like using the green balls, start some Yellow Ball tournaments for your 10 and under kids, folks. YellowBalls.com. J.P. Weber has set this up. And we want to ask you, listen, stand up, speak out, stay professional. But daggone it, we have it crumbling right in front of us. And let's all work hard to speak what's on your mind. And let's get something done and turn this ship. God bless all of you, and we will be back next week again. This is Chuck Creasy with American Tennis.
Opinions stated by various contributors to the UR Tennis Network and its programming are not to be considered as endorsed by the UR Tennis Network. Participants are encouraged to use their own discernments and draw their own conclusions. All information, products, and services offered by the UR Tennis Network are for personal use only. The UR Tennis Network does not confirm nor deny the validity or accuracy of information contained within the network. Any products or services provided for should be used solely for entertainment purposes. We emphasize the idea of keeping an open mind and not construing the products, services, or data as factual.